Well, there's been a long-running narrative of light-skinned African-Americans, quote-unquote, passing in white culture. Blacks who tried to pass were often played by guilt, shame, and a paralyzing fear of being found out. That's if they weren't found out. If they were, they were often derided and scorned by both communities. But our next guest says the journey from black to white isn't always a tragic one, and he has a new book out called The Invisible Line. Daniel Sharfstein looks at three families that were once identified as black, now viewed largely as white, and among them is the family of Isabel Whittemore, the great-granddaughter of a legendary African-American military figure and abolitionist named OSB Wall. Until recently, Isabel, I understand you had no idea that you had any African-American blood in your family at all. Is that correct?
That's right.
So how did you find out?
Well, my daughter was working on the family tree, and she found out some information, but most of it came from Daniel. He got particulars, showed me newspaper articles and so forth, even pictures. But my daughter had done gone into the family tree on both sides of the family, and she discovered quite a bit.
What was your reaction when you discovered that you've thought of yourself as white your whole life, and you discover that not only are you part black, but you're the descendant of a relatively well-known and heroic figure?
Well, I laughed first because I thought it was a riot. Things that I had or had not been told all my life, but very proud. I feel honored. And my family does, too. My girls, of course, they're all grown. They're all adults. But, hey, that's cool, Mom. And my grandchildren, too. So,
well, that's Isabel Whittemore. Daniel Sharfstein, the author of the new book, The Invisible Line. You know, tell us the story of how you got interested in following these family trees, like Isabel Whittemore's.
Sure. This is a story that, for me, began outside the United States. In 1993, I worked on a voter education project in South Africa with someone who said that she should have been classified as African by the government, but was designated colored, which in apartheid-era South Africa meant mixed race. And when I asked her what she meant, she said that decades earlier, an apartheid official went door to door classifying people, and he knew her father, thought he'd do him a favor, and put a C by their names instead of an A. We think about race as obvious or inevitable, but this story really showed me how it could be a process of personal relationships and community dynamics and even individual whim. I mean, that one word had a huge effect on her life, and I came back to the U.S. wondering if it could happen here.
Well, I want to play for you a comment that one of our listeners made. Take a listen to this.
Carolyn from Boston, I'm sure if the one-drop rule were still in effect, this country would be changed overnight from a predominantly white country to a predominantly black country.
She's talking about the one-drop law, which existed in Jim Crow South, in which if you had one drop of African-American blood, you were legally black. And Daniel Sharfstein, this is something we've talked about a bit, that the idea of race and identity and whether you know we really know what our mixed races are. But, you know, this isn't necessarily a prejudice thing per se, because it seems that both sides, both the white camp and the black camp, seem adverse to this idea of crossing back and forth over this color line.
Well, interestingly, both white communities and black communities have had a real diversity of responses to this. Isabel Whittemore's family, OSB Wall's children, when they crossed the color line and established themselves as white, there was a moment when one of the children was essentially outed as being African American, and I read a bunch of letters by members of the black community in Washington, D.C. about 100 years ago talking about his story, and they were very sympathetic. And white communities across the South, in even the most difficult times in the history of race relations, were often really capable of exercising a lot of pragmatism and even tolerance in dealing with members of their communities and in accepting as members of their communities people who they knew had some kind of ambiguous ancestry. But I think that tolerance on an individual level really did not translate into tolerance at a larger level. These same communities could be stalwart supporters of slavery and segregation.
Well, Isabel Mittermore, you said that your family was actually pleased and proud of your background, but I'm wondering if you have any kind of feelings, negative feelings towards the family that tried to conceal its past, that tried to make that move from African American to white.
No.
Why not?
I mean, I don't have, excuse me. No, definitely not. I think it's laughable that they should hide it or try to hide it. There's nothing to be ashamed of, crying out loud.
Maybe not today, but there may have been before.
He was a hero.
Isabel.
And, you know, I think it's something to be very proud of.
Isabel Whittemore has just recently discovered she's the great-granddaughter of a legendary African-American military figure and abolitionist named O.S.B. Wall. She thought she was white. Daniel Sharfstein tells her story and the story of two other families in his new book called The Invisible Line, Three American Families and the Secret Journey from Black to White. He's a professor of law at Vanderbilt University. Quickly, Daniel, you've researched your own family tree. Do you have any black relatives in there?
Not that I know of. It seems to be a lot of people who deserted from different armies in Eastern Europe.
I'm sure that's something to talk about at your family holidays. Dana Sharfstein, the new book is called The Invisible Line. Thanks to you.